wanted you to hear Stop Judging. The world loves this verse. Luke 6:37, judge not and you shall not be judged, condemn not, you shall not be condemned, forgive and you shall be forgiven. And anytime you would mention that they're doing anything wrong, then they would judge not lest you be judged. And that's not at all what God was meaning. In fact, right along after that, he then judges the false teachers. And obviously showing that that's not what he was talking about. So what is judging? What is the judging that we're not to do here? Well, judging is pretending to be like God and have the ability to see what is inside a man's heart. You may clearly see that what they're doing is right or wrong. That's not judging. Fruit inspecting, if you care to. But when you imply that they're doing it because of this or that inside, then you've actually taken God's job. 1 Samuel 16:7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as a man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh upon the heart, looketh on the heart. It was my wife who put it in best terms. She was saying, this is not a judgment against man. Shame on you because you only see the outward appearance. It's just a statement of fact. That's the way it is. We can't see inside. God can. And this is why we are usurping the role of God when we judge. So stop judging. Stop evaluating yourself. That's not your job, not your role. Above all, stop comparing yourself with other people. This will produce either feelings of pride or inferiority, and sometimes a mixture of both. God leads each of his children along a path that is unique for him. My path is not your path, and yours is not mine. I think of Open Door Baptist Church and what God has accomplished in these people, through these people. It's been a wonderful experience. It's not what happens in a lot of other churches. The preaching and the teaching here is not what you find in other churches. And I'm not against what the other churches do. But Brother Don Lambert, remember the name, preached in chapel today at school, and he was saying, there's just a few of us there, you have to understand. I spoke out, making a little comment, but there's only about five of us that were there. And he was saying, not to give you his whole message, but the point was that He said, I don't want to be a misfit in heaven. I don't want to be the only one like that in heaven. I just kind of shook my head and I said, why stop now? talking about myself, of course. I sense the uniqueness of my call. I've talked to a lot of young preachers. And they said, boy, I was on the phone all the time talking to the older preachers, asking them what to do. It never occurred to me to ask other people what to do, because how would I know if they were right? I never was interested in just learning procedures that might work, like in a business session, you know. I wanted to know what was right. I wanted to know what God said. So that's me. So God leads each of his children along a path that is unique for him. So comparing then is not only wrong, it's meaningless. You know, it's like I'm going this way, you're going that way, let me compare the two. They don't compare. It's a meaningless comparison. Paul says, 1 Corinthians 4:3, "For with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of men's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self." He says, what do I know about how well I'm doing? 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." So, you know, let's just not do that. Don't look for affirmation in the wrong place. How will I know if I'm doing well? Tell me I'm doing well. You know. Well, you know, nobody wants a bunch of yes men all gathered around them, right? Say yes? Yeah. You know, it's an odd thing that if that's what you need to get through the day, have people telling you you're doing a good job, who knows why they're saying what they're saying. Your own evaluations, or even those of others, are meaningless. The only source of real affirmation is God's unconditional love. He loved you not because of who you are or what you've done or what you will do, but he extended that love and said, it's yours for the taking. God is not angrily searching out your faults and failures. I thought I got a good person when I got you. No, he knew exactly what he was getting. See? When he disciplines you, it's not out of anger. You and I would discipline out of anger, from time to time at least. But with him, it's never in anger, never in disgust. It is to prepare you for fellowship with him throughout all eternity. I like the term correction. He's correcting us. He's saying, no, this way. Proverbs, 3:11 and 12. "My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." The author of Hebrews picks this up and actually references this and says that when it was written, he was saying, look, he's talking to you as a son. So, what are you to do? Judging others, judging yourself? No. Immerse yourself in Christ's loving presence. He is wanting the best for you, giving you opportunities to change and improve. Listen to his affirmation of love that flows continually from him through his word and his spirit. And here's three verses you might want to just jot down for a cloudy day. Rainy day supplements. Isaiah 61:10. "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." Doesn't mention circumstances, does it? "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels." We're ready for the wedding. Look what he's done. See? Look what he's done. And that's the demonstration of love. John 3:16-17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And I love Ephesians 1:6, "To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein, within that grace, he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We are in the one he loves. And if God will accept his son, then he accepts us. Just feel that hug of reassurance, you know. Somebody said, would we lose our salvation? That would mean that God would have to turn away from Christ. I don't see that happening. It's not about us. It's about him. Comments? Questions?